Okay, we left off yesterday at the bottom of Pidgin Lamed Bet. Gemara was discussing the Mishnah. In the Mishnah, we have a set of rules that are laid out. The most prominent rules are that Omer and the Shtei Lechem must come from Chadash and must come from Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara discussed how steadfast are these rules. So the Gemara first discussed the issue of Chadash and Yashan and said, well, we have a bright or a Tano that says that it's not Me'akev. So Gemara says, okay, that is, it's a Machloket. It's a Machloket at Tanaim with regards to whether Chadash is a Din La'akev, meaning that you must bring it from the Chadash, or is Chadash just a din lechatchila. The Gemara now is going to discuss the second qualification, which it means it must come from Eretz Yisrael. That's the last line on Pegim Abed. Akan lo pligi ela b'chadash. The only thing that we have an argument about is the Chadash, whether it's lechatchila or b'diyeved. Aval ba'aretz lo pligi. Nobody argues about the fact that it must come from Eretz Yisrael. The Omer u'shtei lechem ma'aretz in mechutz la'aretz lo. Comes from Eretz Yisrael, yes, but outside of Eretz Yisrael, no. Kiman, who's that like in our Mishnah? Delo ki haitana. Not like this Tana. So now we do find another Tana. Tana that disagrees. The Tanya, Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, Omer, Omer ba michutz la'aretz. The Omer can come from outside of Eretz Yisrael. Uma ani b'kayim. So now what are you going to do with the pasuk that says ki tavo la'aretz? Sounds like that when you come into Eretz Yisrael, so that shelo nitchayvu ba'omer kodem shenichnesu la'aretz. That is just a requirement of starting the process, but it's not a requirement of where you bring the Omer from, just a threshold or a trigger from when you become chayav in the mitzvah of bringing the Omer. And the Savar, Chadash v'chutz la'aretz d'oraito. And the Gemara now correlates, which is a very, very important point, correlates between this din and the din of Chadash. That only in a place where Chadash is asur could you possibly bring the Omer from. So the underlying assumption here is this Tano who permits one to bring the Omer from Chutz La'aretz also must believe that Chadash and Chutz La'aretz is a din min ha-Torah. Dichtiv mimoshvoteichem. Because it says, by the Shtei Alechem mimoshvoteichem, kol makom shata yoshvim mashma, anywhere that you live, you stay. V'chi tavo zman biyohi. So Moshe Rotechem comes to teach you, wherever you live, there's a chiyuv of Chadash. And number two is, Kitavo la'aretz is not a statement that it's only in Eretz Yisrael, but rather the trigger, the threshold at which point you begin. Bekeven de'oraita yi, since it's Chadash is de'oraita and Chutz La'aretz, akruvei na'im makriven. You're allowed to bring that. From there, the Omer, you're allowed to bring from there the Shtei Alechem. So the Gemara does something very important over here, which is it correlates between Chodesh and Chutz La'aretz and Akravat Omer, Mechutz La'aretz. That the Akravat Omer and the Shtei Alechem must be from Eretz Yisrael. But if you believe that Chodesh is also Asur B'Chutz La'aretz, you can bring it from Chutz La'aretz as well. Because then they're under the same category, which is it's Asur until the Omer is brought. Since it's Asur until the Omer is brought, therefore, that Tvuah can be used as the vehicle for being matir. And that Tana says, therefore, that you could bring from Chutz La'aretz Chadash in order to use for the Omer and use for the Shtei Alechem. Now, this has major nafkuminot. We spoke about this back on Samach Chet. This has major nafkuminot of today, where there's a din of Chadash in Chutz La'aretz. So it seems from this Gemara, and this Gemara will become as a linchpin on those that are matir or mekil with Chadash and Chutz La'aretz, is the fact that only if you believe the Omer can come from Chutz La'aretz, do you believe that Chadash is Asur b'Chutz La'aretz. So the Or Zeruah picks up on this and says that our Mishnah says that the Omer may only come from Eretz Yisrael, is also saying that Chadash and Chutz La'aretz is not De'oraita. Otherwise, our Tana and our Mishnah should have allowed the Omer to come from Chutz La'aretz. So you have a Stam Mishnah over here that says that Chadash and Chutz La'aretz is only at most a Din D'Rabbanan, but even maybe not a Din at all. So that's the linchpin of the Or Zeruah's explanation. Now, just the background to the Chadash scenario is that there's a machlokas in the Gemara in Kiddushin, the Mishnah in Kiddushin, and Daf Lamed Vav, between the Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer. Chachamim say that Chadash does not apply in Chutz La'aretz. It's a Davar HaTluya Ba'aretz, and since it's a Mitzvah HaTluya Ba'aretz, only applies in Eretz Yisrael. Eliezer says no, that even in Chutz La'aretz it applies, because it's a super theme. There are two exceptions in the Mishnah. Kil Ayim is one of the exceptions. Orla is another exception. And he brings the third exception, which will be Chadash applies. Even though it's not Eretz Yisrael, Chadash still applies. And the explanation given by many of the Rishonim about these items are, especially by Chadash, these are items that are Mosel HaKol, they're given over to everyone, and people are involved with them. And they have more of a slant of being Miguf than Michovat Aretz. But anyway, these three are the exceptions. Kilayim, Orla, and according to Rabbi Eliezer, Chadash. is an exception. He learns it out from what we did today, Mi Moshe Botechem, that the Moshe Botechem says that it's Asur to eat Kaliv and Carmel at Etzem Yom Hazeh. That's about anything. Mi Moshe Botechem, wherever you live, that's going to be true, that it's Asur. Therefore, Chalish flies in Chutz Laaretz. There's a Stam Mishnah in the Orla, and the Orla is a Stam Mishnah that says these items are Asurim Baaretz, Bechutz Laaretz, Midirabbanan, Allah of the Moshe Mesinai, and there the Mishnah says, Chadash Bechol Makom. So there's a Stam Mishnah that says that Chadash is Asur Bechol Makom. So many of the Rishonim, Mustari, the Rif, and the Rosh, and many of the Rishonim say that that Stam Mishnah is a proof that we paskin like Rabbi Eliezer. Despite the fact that he's a Dat Yachid in the Mishnah and Kiddushin, nevertheless, we have a Stam Mishnah like him in Orla, and therefore we paskin like Rabbi Eliezer, that Chodesh B'chutz La'aretz is a Din D'Oraita. Even though the Yerushalmi there in Orla says that this Mishnah is authored by Rabbi Eliezer. So it is a Dat Yachid, and they're identifying it as a Dat Yachid. Nevertheless, they say it's a Stam Mishnah. Those that are Matir really fall into three categories. One of the Matirim is the Orzarua. The smach of the Orzarua is that we have a Stam Mishnah here that says that Chalish and Chutz La'aretz is only a din derabanan, not a din d'oraita, maybe not even a din at all, but at most a din derabanan. And he says, why should I give precedence to this Stam Mishnah and then the Stam Mishnah Orla? It's because we're in the topic. Topically, we're talking about Menachot and Chodosh here. So if this is the Stam Mishnah in Menachot, then that's the one that should govern. And therefore, the Or Zeruah says that Chodosh and Chutz La'aretz is only Osir Midirabonon, not Midirabonon. So he's one of the Matrim of Chodosh and Chutz La'aretz. Alright, we'll get there. Very good. That's a good question. Alright, so he says only Dindirabonon, not a Dindirabonon. So he's asking a very good question. What's the head there? The biggest head there comes from the Rebbeinu Baruch. Rebbeinu Baruch, who is mentioned the Rosh in the Shuta Rosh, quotes him as long with the Ri. The Ri says that it's Osur, Chodosh B'Chutz La'aretz, but the Rebbeinu Baruch says no. Rebbeinu Baruch says that only certain items are Osur in Chutz La'aretz, and there are certain items that are Osur in the countries that surround Eretz Yisrael. For instance, Trumot and Masrot. Trumot and Masrot are Dinim in Eretz Yisrael. The countries that surround Eretz Yisrael, the Rabbanim goes there on those countries to also bring Trumot and Masrot. But countries that are further away, they do not bring a Trumot and Masrot. The Rebbeinu Baruch says that by Chodosh, that's true as well. By Chodosh, they only goes there on the countries that surround Eretz Yisrael, not on the further out countries, not on the countries outside. The reason for that is explained. There are a number of Rishonim Achronim that try to explain it. There's the Bach that explains the Rebbeinu Baruch. There's the Shagazaya in his Tshuva to Chadashot, mentions it there on Chodosh. There's also the Magen Avraham and the Or HaShulchan all try to explain this Rabbeinu Baruch. But that Rabbeinu Baruch would be a big smach to be matter, because he's not only saying that it's not a din d'oraita, he's saying it's not even a din d'rabbanan, because it only applies to the countries around there, so like Trumot and Masrot, not to the countries that are further out, and therefore Chodesh does not apply whatsoever in the countries outside. The last heter comes, or the tzad heter comes from the Bach. The Bach goes against many of the Rishonim who suggest that Chodesh applies not only to Jewish produce, but to non-Jewish produce. And that's based on the fact that in the Gemara Yerushalmi in Orla, it's also, I think, in Kiddushin, I think Yerushalmi brings it there as well, Gemara wants to know, why did they mention Challah in the Mishnah? So it says they didn't mention Challah in the Mishnah because they only wanted to talk about things that apply equally to Jews and non-Jews. Challah only applies to Jews and not non-Jews. So therefore it was absent in the Mishnah. The implications from that are that Chodosh that is mentioned in the Mishnah does apply equally to Jews and non-Jews. Therefore, almost all the Rishonim go in that line, which argue that the Chodesh applies to Jews and non-Jews equally. And therefore, even in Chutz La'aretz, even if it's non-Jewish produce, it still has a din of Chodesh. That's where the Bach. The Bach comes and rereads that Yerushalmi and explains how that Yerushalmi doesn't have to be. That's only according to Dat Rabbi Eliezer. But according to the Tanakam and the Chachamim, no, that's not going to be the case. And therefore, the Bach suggests that the Tvua of a Nochri in Chutz La'aretz does not have a din on Chodesh, which also would be another big Kula on which to be Somech in terms of Chodesh in Chutz La'aretz. So those are the three mainstays. There was Zeruah, who uses our Mishnah here, the Stam Mishnah. He also says that the Mishnah in Kiddushim is a Yochid Rabbim. We pass it like the Rabbim. It makes more sense. We had the Rabbeinu Baruch, who says that the Gezerah doesn't apply outside of the countries surrounding Eretz Yisrael. And the Bach, who says that it doesn't apply to non-Jewish produce, that Chodesh does not apply to non-Jewish produce. Those are the three big heterim. Against them are basically everyone else who thinks that it applies to Chutz La'aretz, Midoraita, and that it applies to the Tuav and Achri as well. And therefore, those that are Matir, Midin Sveik Sveika. which is that the suffix, whether the tavua is from this year or last year, and even if it's this year, maybe it rooted before the Omer. It's quoted in the Chumash Arush, quotes it first, quoted by many others afterwards, the Chumash Adeshin, many others quote this. The Chumash Adeshin has a different, it says, Batel B'Shishim, others that have other reasons to be Matir. But that heter only applies, if it is, a suffix. And that the clearly is stated by the Chumash Arush and others, that if you know for certain that they couldn't plant before the Omer, it was too cold, in areas in Poland and Russia with snow on the ground, there was no way they planted beforehand. You know, it's Chadash, you have to abstain. He had a Mesorah from his Rebbeim not to say anything to the people. Mutav Shiu Shogigim Be'altu Mezidim. But nevertheless, he believes that Chared al Nafsho, people who are careful and know for certain that the produce came after the Omer, should not eat that produce and should wait till after the Omer in order to eat it. And especially in places, that's what they quote, especially in places where beer was the central drink of their lives. And if you say to them, don't drink the beer, there's no way they're going to listen to you. Over there, don't do it. In other places where they drink wine as their mainstay drink and beer was only secondary, then in those places he says, go ahead and paskin because the people might listen to you there. But it's really premised on this, mutav shiu shogim be'altu mezidim. The last issue, which is what Tzvi points out over here, is that even those that are matir, like the Or Zeruah, say that it's din derabanan. Not a din d'oraita. That just means in a makum safek there's room to be mekil. But again, if you know for certain it's chadash, it's also midrabanan. So based on that, the Aruch HaShulchan and the Mishnah Berurah and the Ber Halacha discuss that at least people should try as much as they can to be or to observe chadash and chutz la'aretz. Because even if you don't, the more you keep, there are deos all along the way of what is or isn't chadash. So the more that you keep, there's reasons to keep these items, and not reasons to ignore the din legamre. And he complains, he notes that people who are chared al dvar Hashem and other things, and mashahu about this and that, and are machmir for every little chumrah, by chadash, they're matir legamre. He says that's not a good approach, that one should try as best as it can to keep chadash in chutz la'aretz.
Yeah.
There are those that argue against the Sfeik Sfeika, saying it's not a real Sfeik Sfeika. There are two parts to it. Last year's Tavua, this year's Tavua, even in this year's Tavua, it could be before that threshold. Last year's Tavua, it doesn't matter anymore. It's crossed the threshold already. So you have a possibility that it already crossed last year's threshold. And then in this year, it's possibly that it was before the threshold. There are two thresholds that you're crossing.
It's either was planted 4 or 3 days before Pesach, or it wasn't planted.
Right, so that's the argument against that Sfeik Sfeika is that there's really only one Sfeik here, Chadash and Yoshan. So that's only one. That's the only Sfeik that you have.
You have to know how the aggregate
has. All right. Anyways, what Roni mentions is true, is that in 1989, after the fall of the Soviet Union, when they stopped keeping their strategic reserves, then the wheat started to move a lot faster, and then the problems of Chadash became much more real in America. So there are people, there are ways to get Yoshan there, there are ways to be Makbid on it, and a lot of reasons to be Makbid. And I just wanted to give you a scope of just what was going on quickly in the sugya, because here's one of the mainstays of those that are matir. All right, let's continue in Menachos here. Tanan Otam. Shomrei Svichim v'Shvi'it Notim Schara Mitrumat HaLishka. That the Shomrei Svichim v'Shvi'it get their monies out of the Trumat HaLishka, and they watch, meaning that there's nobody can plant in Shvi'it, and they got to bring the Omer, so they need someone to guard and watch the produce so nobody takes it, because it's all hefker, in order that they can bring the Omer from it. So we'll come back in 1 second to discuss that. Rami Lei, Rami Bar Chamler of Gizda, Tznan. Shomrei Svichim v'Shvi'it notim schara mitrumat HaLishka, meaning that you watch the Svichim. V'Yaminhu Le'Ochla V'Lo L'Sreifa. So it says that you can eat it, V'Lo L'Sreifa, but you can't burn it. How can you be makriv the komets from something that is Le'Ochla V'Lo L'Sreifa? The requirement of Perot Shvi'it is that you can't waste anything in Perot Shvi'it. You know, we had that experience, which is when the Shemitah, you have to keep everything. You can't let anything go to the waste. So how come over here you're taking from what is otherwise Perot Shvi'it, you're putting them on the Mizbeach, and you're putting a komets of that on the Mizbeach? That's the Sreifa, and not the Ochla. So how are you going to deal with that? So he says, Amalei, Rachmona Amar Lecha L'Dorotechem. The Torah says to bring the Omer L'Dorotechem, every generation, meaning every generation you're supposed to bring the Omer. V'amart Amarti Batel, and your suggestion is we should skip every Shemitah year, and we shouldn't bring it. It's impractical. The only way to do it is this way, and therefore there must be a dispensation. Amalei, Umika Mina Ana Tibatel. I'm not saying that they should not bring the Omer those years. Laiti Mi Eshtekad. Let them bring the Omer from last year's produce. So Gemara says, Bina Carmel. You need it to be fresh. Carmel, meaning that it's fresh, the first of the harvest. Veleka, and that's missing. So where it says, we like to meet Carmel Deshtekad. If you need Carmel, just take last year's grain that was Carmel, now it's dried out, but it was Carmel when it's picked. So it has a shame Carmel on it when it was picked, and you can use last year's grain and not this year's grain. Where it says, Amakra, Carmel Takriv, Be'ina Carmel B'Shat Akrava. It has to be Carmel at the time that you're being Makrivit. Not that it has a shame Carmel, it once was Carmel. No, it has to be Carmel now, meaning fresh, in the shells, still with its moisture in it. That has to be right now. When you're bringing the omer, that's got to be the status of the wheat that you're bringing it from. Veleka, and that's lacking over here. So therefore, we do not have a solution, meaning that the solution over here is to use grains that otherwise would not be shvi'it. The Gemara rejects it by the fact that grains that are not shvi'it are not going to qualify to be good for the omer. Now, one of the solutions could have been to bring from chutz laretz, to bring grains from chutz laretz, according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, according to those that say that chutz laretz is asur b'chadosh, and you could have solved the problem of bringing it from chutz laretz. Tosfos says, Teimo, the Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, naiti mi chutz laretz. Shemach v'ayta lo doloka batei. Maybe this bright does not like Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. Just to know, but that could have been another solution to the problem, is to bring the in Shviyat, to bring it from Chutz Laretz, according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda.
What was the problem that you're burning the Shviyat's produce on the...
On yeah,
the,
you're burning on the Mizbeach. You're putting the comments on the Mizbeach.
How does the Mizbeach apply to that? Shabbos, the kosher, the grain at night for Shabbos.
Okay, so we'll see in a second. Tosus has something along those lines. We'll get there in a second. Tosus asked that question. So he says, Itmar, Rabbi Yochanan Mar Kamel Takrif, well, Azomir Reshit Kitzircha. They have, both of them give reasons why you have to bring from the fresh produce or this year's produce. Yochanan says because of Kamel, Takriv, what we just learned before. And Rabbi Lazar says it's because Reshit Kitzircha. It has to be the first of your Katsir, meaning it has to be now. What you're, the grain that you're bringing from must be from that which is being Niktzar Akshav, not from that which was already harvested, the Sof of the Katsira. Reshit Kitzircha, Velof Sof Kitzircha. That's the beginning of the harvest, meaning from this year's grain, not last year's grain, which is already the end of the harvest. Yeah, the pasuk is Reshit Kitzirchem. So now the motiv rabo. Ve'im takriv minchat bikurim, ve'minchat ha'omer ha'katuv medaber. So the pasuk in the beginning of Yikra says that when we're talking about minchat bikurim, the minchat bikurim is talking about the minchat ha'omer. Me'ichan hiba. Where does it come from? Minasurim. It comes out of the barley. How do you know that it should be brought from barley and not from wheat? So Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Nemer Aviv Mitzrayim, Nemer Aviv Ledorot, we've saw this limud already, that when it came to the Makav Barad, it says those that were emerging early and had stalks had hardened already, they were destroyed by the Barad. But those that were later, then they were not destroyed by the Barad because they were still soft. Their stalks were still flexible and they were not destroyed by the Barad. So over there it says that the Kiasora Aviv, that the Sora was early and therefore got destroyed by the Barad. But the Chitan, the Kusemet, which were late, did not get destroyed by the Barad. So you see that the term Aviv is used in association with Seora. So that would indicate to you, Ma Aviv Amur Mitzrayim Seorim, Av Aviv Amur Ladarot, in a Bala Minas Seorim. Just like the Aviv in Mitzrayim is talking or referencing the Seorim, so to the Aviv, we're talking about the Minchat Bikurim, Aviv Kalui, that is going to come from the Seorim. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Matzinu Yachid, Shemivi Chuvata Minachitim, Umei Chuvato Minaseorim. We know that a Yachid has a Korban Mincha that comes from wheat, that's all Minachot, and he also has a Korban Mincha that comes from the Seorim. What's the Korban Mincha that comes from the Seorim? The Korban Yachid that comes from the Seorim is the Minchat Kinaot, Minchat Sota. This week's Parsha, Parshat Naso, comes from the Seorim. So the Yachid has Minachot that come both from wheat and from barley. He says the same should be true of the tzibur. They should also have menachot that come from wheat and those that come from barley. Av tzibur mevich vato menachitim mevich vato menasorim. Ima ta omer menachitim. If you say that the omer comes from chitim, lo matzinu tzibur shemevich vato menasorim, then you won't have that parallel. The tzibur will never bring a mincha from seorim because they never have any mincha that's seorim. If you say mincha the omer is from the seorim, now we have one mincha that comes from the seorim and it will parallel the yachid. Just like the yachid has one mincha menasorim, so to the tzibur has a mincha menasorim. The other reason is because if you bring the Omer from Chitim, then Shtei Lechem will not be the first in the Mikdash. Because then the Mincha before them will be the Mincha to Omer, will precede them. And it will not be the Mincha Chadasha. Mincha Chadasha says it should be the first Mincha brought from those that from the produce of this year. Well, if the Omer is from Seorim and the Shtei Lechem from Chitim, you have no problem. But if you're already bringing the Omer from Chitim, it's no longer the Mincha Chadasha. You already had a Mincha on the Mizbeach, the Omer, and it won't be qualified as mincha chalasha. Alma, mishum bikurim hu tiyufta. It sounds like from this that it's because of the bikurim and tiyufta. That is a strong question. Who is the question on over here? So Rashi claims that the question is tiyufta de Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says the reason that you can't bring the omer from last year's rab is because karmel takriv. The mashma yacholi akrim karmel afa bisha eno bikurim. That you have, as long as it's karmel, even though it's not bikurim, you would be allowed to bring it. That's the suggestion over here, and therefore the questions are Rabbi Yochanan, who premises the whole problem or creates the whole issue about this year's produce from Carmel. Here you see that the focus of this Braita is on Bikurim, not on Carmel. Meaning that should be Reshit Kitzircha, and not the issue of Carmel. Tosos, on the other hand, says that the questions on both of them. It says, V'nir l'tervayu parich. Questions on both Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar. D'ha Rabbi Elazar perish time v'shum t'chtiv Reshit Kitzircha. V'lo sof Kitzircha. V'im tomar, umay time avit yuvta, v'im et echad the mitzvah, echad the akev. You'll say one of them is the mitzvah, one's l'akev. Yesh lomar, t'tre Bikurim k'tiv. Bikurim is written twice, and since it's written twice, it's l'akev. If it's l'akev to be Bikurim, then the whole issue here about why you need to bring it from the barley and you need to bring it from the new crop all has to do with the shtei alechem over here. It has nothing to do with the fact that it's reshit kitzirchem. It has nothing to do with the fact that it's karmel tagrif. The bright is giving a totally different reason about why, either aviv or because it has to be the new mincha, but not a new mincha that creates it. It's not the new shtei alechem. All these reasons that are giving have nothing to do with Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar. So Tosfos says it's a question on both of them. Rashi says just the question on Rabbi Yochanan. The question I just want to go back and address is Shomrei Tzvichim B'Shvi'it. The problem with Shomrei Tzvichim B'Shvi'it is that one is not allowed to guard produce of Shvi'it. Everybody knows that. Anybody has fruit trees in their backyard during Shvi'it, what do you have to do? You have to open them up to the public. It has to be hefker. You're not allowed to be Shomer. The din midoraita is that portim gederim. You're allowed to break down the fences in order to get into people's backyards. There can be no fences. The Chamim, Bibnei Tikkun Olam, said people should just open up their gates and not break down the fences and make the produce available. But technically, everything's open. And if it's Minam Mishumar, it's a problematic. So how come over here, how can you say over here that Shomrei Tzvichim Shvi'it, how could they guard the produce in order to be used for the Omer? So what are you going to say? They say, it's Hekdesh. It's okay. The problem is that we know that there's a Din of Mimashke Yisrael. Only that which is Mutar for a Jew to eat or drink is allowed to go on the Mizbeach. And Minam Mishumar, a person cannot eat. A regular Jew cannot consume that during this Shvi'it. How can one allow that on the Mizbeach? So that's what this large Tosfos is discussing. Large Tosfos is discussing whether that there really is a din. The first thing he's trying to establish is whether there is a din of Mishumar, that if it's guarded, it becomes Asur. In the end, it establishes that that's the din. Rabbeinu Tam says that's the case. Therefore, then he has to now figure out, if it is Asur Min Mishumar, how do I deal with the fact... Not in a mishumar. That's only this din derabanan, not a din deoraita. Because there's a limud in the Gemara, and the question is, what does it apply to? Does it really apply to mishumar or something else? And Rashi has a different interpretation of the Gemara that doesn't create it. That it's a problem in a mishumar. So once he's established that it is, so now first answer he gives is ishlamar di midoraita b'tzira davka asur of a balachila shari, that it's usur to be botzer min a mishumar, but there's no isur to consume it. Once it's been harvested, you can't eat it. That's the first answer. He doesn't reject it over here, but in the Gemara Bava Metzia, Tosfos rejects that answer. It says no good. The Shomrei Tzvichim, Hacha, can you imagine? This is unbelievable. This is what they did. They did not guard the produce. You know what they did? Lo yomonim b'nei adam alikach. They didn't stop anybody from taking it. This let them know, this is really going to be used for the Hekdesh, this is going to be used for the Omer. Please don't take it. They didn't stop anybody, they didn't physically stop, they didn't guard it. They were just like a warning system. Look, you know, we're probably going to use this for Hekdesh, you may not want to take it. And people used to leave on their own volition. Right, can you imagine that working? They're saying, no, you can't. He says, all right, thank you for letting me know. It goes in and he takes it anyway. But that was, the idea here is that they're not guarding it in the sense that they're protecting it, they're just being modia to people that we'd really like to save this for the Omer. It's equivalent. It would be the equivalent of putting up signs. Inami, the answer that's given is, I think you mentioned this right about Hekdesh, is Inami. Ktzircha unizirecha marachmana didach in velo shel Hekdesh. Ma'aydai ma'sharia ktzira. The same reason that you asked before. It says ktzircha velo ktzir Hekdesh. Meaning only ktzir reshut is prohibited. Ktzir Hekdesh is not prohibited. And therefore the same thing will apply here. By ktzircha unizirecha, the harvesting, as well as taking off these items that were minam mishumar, only applies to produce of a hedjot, not to produce of Hekdesh. Has an exemption from this din. Since they have an exemption from this din, it would technically be min hamutar Israel because of the Shmirah. Just a little side topic about Shvi'it. So now we're going to start a new topic. It's going to take us the rest of the way through the daf, which is not hotam. Im mivim bikurim chutz mishivat haminim. Bikurim have to come from the Sheva minim, Shivat haminim. So this is topical. Shavuot is the time, the first time they brought Bikurim in the Mikdash. And they were also only brought from the Shivat haminim. Velo mitmarim shibarim, velo be'perot shibarim. Chakim. Not only do they have to be brought from the Yeshivat HaMiminim, they have to be brought from Min HaMuvchar, the best of the Yeshivat HaMiminim. And that means that you can't bring them from the Tamarim, from the Harim on the mountains, because the Tamarim on the mountains are not the best. The ones in the Amakim, the ones in the valleys, are much better Tamarim. That's one way. The other way that you can formulate, I think the Rashi Niktiv Yad formulates it this way, that the ones in the Emek are sweet, and the ones on the Harim are not so sweet. So basically, those are the best, and you can't bring it from those on the mountain. But let me peirot shebamakim. And the other way around, when it comes to the peirot in the valleys you cannot bring, but you can bring them from the harim, because they are either shebamakim eino mina muvchar, they're not the best, the vishim kuchushim, they're either weaker types of fruits, they don't grow as well, they're not as strong fruits, they're not as sweet, they're not as minha muvchar. So therefore, we preclude those areas from bringing the bikurim. So Amar Ula, this is the statement that's going to be or drive us through the rest of the daf, is imhevi lo kidesh. If you bring them, it doesn't work. Not only is it you shouldn't bring them from there, if you try to bring them from there, it doesn't work. That's it. They're not kadosh. They're not bikurim. Yotiv Rabbo v'kamar lo hashmaito. He said over this. Eitve Rabbi Acha Barabba the Rabbi. He challenged him. He says the pasuk says karban reshit. Shezei reshit tochol minachot. Says over there in the pasuk in Vayikra when it's talking about what you're not allowed to bring on the Mizbeach, it says you're not allowed to bring on the Mizbeach. The exception to that rule is the Karban Reshit. What's the Karban Reshit that is brought on the Mizbeach? Well, the Chametz part of the Karban Reshit we know is the Shtealecha. The Karban Reshit Devash is the Bikurim. So there's a requirement that they be Karban Reshit. Shezei Reshit Echol Menachot. V'chein hu omer, V'akrivchem Mincha Chadasha L'Hashem B'Shavuoteichem. In Parshat Pinchas, when it talks about the Mincha that you bring, it has to be a Mincha Chadasha L'Hashem I only know that you're not allowed to bring any other mincha before the Shtei Alechem, which is the mincha chadasha, when it comes to chitim, because that's what it's brought from, chitim. Chadasha shel seorim minayin. How do I know you're not allowed to bring a minchat seorim prior to the orim minayin, minchat kenaot prior to the Shtei Alechem? Tamalomar chadasha chadasha. It says chadasha twice. It says mincha chadasha once in Bamidbar by Pinchas. It also says mincha chadasha once in Vayikra Emor in Perek Chav Gimel. It says Vikraft, and that's what we say. People say they need muchan. That's the pasuk by the Omer. The end of the counting of the Omer, you'll bring a mincha chadasha. It says chadasha twice. So since we don't need it for the new wheat, because that we already know from the pasuk in Pinchas, we'll use it for the new grains of barley that you're not allowed to bring menachot until you brought the mincha chadasha. How do I not know that it's not only has to be prior to the tvuah, it has to be prior to the grains that are brought. I mean, here we've said the wheat and barley. How do I know that it also has to be prior to any other bikurim that are brought in the Mikdash? Talmud Omar, V'chag Shavuot Taseh Lecha Bikurei Kitzir Chitim. It says that the Chag Shavuot should be Bikurei Kitzir Chitim, the beginning of the Tzir Chitim, the beginning of the first of the wheat harvest. V'en Eile Bikurei Kitzir Chitim, Tzir Seorim Minayin. How do I know that it also applies to the Kitzir Seorim? Talmud Omar, V'chag HaKatzir Bikurei Masecha Asher Tizra Basadeh. So once, this is mentioned in Parsha Kitisa, the Shlosh Regalim are mentioned. Over there it says, it calls it, that it's Bikurei Kitzir Chitim. I also mentioned in Parsha Mishpatim, the Shlosh Regalim. Over there in describing Shavuot, it says, Bikurei Masecha Asher Tizra Basadeh. So it sounds like anything that's planted in the field, which means not only Chitim, but also Seorim. Vein Yele Shetizra. That's only if you planted it. Alum Yele Hem Minayin. That which grows on its own. How do I know? Tamalomer Basadeh. Anything found in the field. Vein Yele Basadeh. Things found in the field. Minayin Rabot Shebegag. The things that you planted on your roof, that were grown by themselves in some desolate area, ujat seeds that were grown in a pot, ushibasvina, that were grown on a boat. Tamalomar, bikurei kolashir ba'atzam. In Parshat Korach, when it talks about the matnot kihuna, over there it says that the Kohanim are entitled to bikurei kolashir ba'atzam. They're entitled to everything, all the bikurim that come from the Eretz. So now, what's the limud over here? So there are two different limudim that are brought down over here. One possibility, Bikurei Asher Be'atzam, comes to teach you. Nemar Pekan, by Korach, it says Bikurei Asher Be'atzam. Nemar La'alan, Bikurei Kitzir Chitim. Mentions the Kitzir Chitim, Bikurei Kitzir Chitim, by Shavuot. And therefore, they're going to make some sort of Gzeirah Shavah to say, just like the Bikurim by the Kitzir Chitim means that the Shtei Alechem must precede them, so too the Bikurei Kitzir Atzam, the Shtei Alechem must precede them. That's one way of learning it. The other possibility of learning it is that it's come to teach you what is Bikurei Kitzir, what is the Bikurim that we're talking about. When we talk about Bikurei Kol Ma'asecha, what is that Bikurim? That's defined for us in Parshat Korach, where it says Bikurei Kol Asher Be'atzam. Kikolasha means any fruits that are in the nation, I mean, of the Shiva. That's meaning any of those fruits. If I go back now to Parshat Mishpatim and Parshat Kitisa, where it says that has to be Bikurei Ktir chitim, or it has to be b'kisrei kol ma'asecha, then I'll know now, what is bikurim? Bikurim means kol asher ba'atzam. And therefore the shtei alechem must precede bikurei kol ha'atzam, or that's the definition of bikurim. The bikurim must be kol asher ba'atzam, and this must be the first of kol asher ba'atzam. So there's two ways to learn it over here. Either some sort of gzeir shavah, that the shtei alechem must precede them, or a gzeir shavah that defines us what bikurim means. And since it has to be karban reshit, it must be before all things that are defined as bikurim. Those are two ways to learn it. Now, how do I know that it must also precede nisachim uperot ha'ilan? Truthfully, you don't need the word perot ha'ilan in there. We just learned perot ha'ilan from bikurei kol artzam. The question here is nisachim, because over there you're talking about wine. So you're talking about wine here, that's not captured in bikurei kol artzam. So there, ne'emar kan bikurei ma'asecha, ve'emar lahan ba'aspechot ma'asecha min ha'sadeh. In Perek Tav Gimel be'parshat Mishpatim, where it describes the Shloshet Regalim, over there it talks about Sukkot, and in Sukkot it says ba'aspechot ma'asecha min ha'sadeh. When you bring in all the produce from the field, over there when it says produce from the field, it means all produce from the field. So just like ba'aspechot ma'asecha there means all produce, so there, ne'emar kan bikurei ma'asecha. Ma'asecha here is going to mean all items, not just the fruits and the shivit aminim, but anything that comes to the Mizbeach, it has to be the Shtei Lechem precede them. So that would be the Limud. Malala Nisachim Perot, just like by Sukkot, it would include anything that's coming in. Therefore, it would include Nisachim Perot Ilan, Afkan Nisachim Perot Ilan. Tani Miha, here's the question. After that long break, here's the question. Miha, Shebegak, Shebechuvesh, Etzitzim, Shesvina. These items cannot be brought in the Mikdash before the Shtei Lechem is brought. The reason for that must be that they also can be used for the Shtei Lechem. They qualify to be used for the Shtei Lechem. And we're talking about items that are going on the Gag, on your roof, things that are going on the Churva in desolate areas, and an atzitz, and a pot, and a sfina. These are all items that are subpar. These are not mina mufkar. And yet, what do you see? You see that you could bring them from them. Ulam before said, if you bring from a subpar area, don't bring them at all. They're not kadosh. Over here, we're suggesting that these items that grow in these areas, they are considered bikurim. They are precluded from being brought in the mikdash prior to the shtei alechem. And they have a classification called bikurim. So Rashi says, no. Seifa atan l'menachot. The end of this break, there's only time about menachot. This piece that discusses where you can bring all these other items from, that's where it's talking about menachot. The wheat and the barley are precluded from being brought from these areas, but not bikurim. So we're going to separate here. We can create a line between menachot, which come from the grains, and the bikurim that also come from periot ilan. But periot ilan, you have to bring mina mufkar. You don't bring mina mufkar, don't bring it at all. It's not kadosh. Menachot, even when you bring it from the subpar areas, it will still be kadosh and it'll still work. But the statement of Ula was made on the Mishnah to discuss bikurim. It does not discuss the menachot. That's a din of bikurim, not a din of menachot. Din that Ula suggests is a din of bikurim, not a din of menachot. The Bright is discussing menachot and not bikurim in that sense. That's what it says. Kol tahor b'bitecha yucholoto. Wait a minute. It says in the Pasuk in Korach, which we quoted before as the proof that you can bring from any of these areas. We put the pasuk bikurei kol asher ba'atzam. Well, after that it says bikurei kol asher ba'atzam, you know who can eat that? Kol tahor b'beitecha. Anybody in your household. Well, minachot are kodshei kodashim. Kodshei kodashim can only be consumed by zichrei kuhuna, only by male kohanim. So if you suggest that that pasuk is limited to speaking about minachot, then how could the pasuk suggest that the whole family is eating it? The whole family can eat bikurim. The whole family cannot eat minachot. That would be a proof that the pasuk is not just talking about minachot. So Amar Mishar. The pasuk actually has two parts to it. It says lechoye, then kol b'chayei atzam lechoye, and then it says kol tahor b'beitecha yucholoto. So we'll separate. Lechoye is the din in menachot. The kol tahor b'beitecha yucholoto is a din in bikurim. So that's haketzad. Can be bikurim, can be menachot. So that there are actually two parts to that pasuk. And just like you're going to suggest that the limud of bikurim kol atzam is talking about menachot, that also has the qualifier on it, lechoye. That's just for you, the zikrei kuna. The other part of kol tahor b'beitecha is talking about bikurim in general. Those bikurim can be for everybody, but they do not have the din that they can be brought from anywhere, because that only comes from the beginning part of the pasuk. Rav Ashi Mar Kulei b'Menachot. They're all talking about Menachot. V'Seifa Tekra Atan Lach Mei Toda. The end of the pasuk is coming to teach about Lach Mei Toda. That just like the Kol Tador B'Beitecha Yochalotam is the Lach Mei Toda, the truma that's given to the Kohanim from the Lach Mei Toda. That's what is defined by Kol Tador B'Beitecha. B'Plukta. It actually is a machloket. This statement of Ula that whether you bring payroll from these subpar places, whether you can be mekadesh them or not, is actually a machloket that we have somewhere else. Which is Rav Yochanan Amar. may be lo kidesh, just like Ula. Rish Lakish, Amari may be kidesh. If he brings him the kadosh, azek kachush v'kdoy kodshim. So it's similar to bringing a poor quality animal in kodshim. True, you're supposed to bring the best animals, but if you bring something that's weak or not the best, it's still kadosh. You get it, you bring it, it works. It's just not mitzvah min amuvchar. It's the same thing over here. So bishlama rish lakish kadamar taimo. Rish Lakish explains his reasoning, which is that when you have a subpar item that you bring, it's still kadosh, but it's just not mitzvah min amuvchar. Elo Rabbi Yochanan my taimo. Why does Rabbi Yochanan say that it's not kadosh at all? So Amar Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yochanan hazai bechalom miltom al yoto. In a dream, he saw this explanation of a pasuk, and that's what drove his opinion over here. Amina Amar Kra, it says in a pasuk mi reshit velo kol reshit. In the Parshat Bikurim, it says that you bring reshit kol pi adama mi reshit velo kol reshit. Not all first fruits can be brought; only some of the first fruits can be brought. The qualifier of mem says only some, not all. Mi artzecha velo kol artzecha. There it says that you can bring the fruits; you bring them from your land. Velo kol artzecha, but not all of Eretz Israel is qualified. So therefore, you see that mi reshit velo kol reshit and mi artzecha velo kol artzecha says there are certain items you cannot bring, even though they're the first fruits from the land of Israel. They still are not brought as bikurim. So Rish Lakish, hi artzecha maya bidle. What does he do with the mi artzecha? It sounds like you can't bring them from anywhere you want in Eretz Israel. By lake de Tanyo, he needs it for the brayta. Rabbi Gamliel bar Rabbi Omer, never kan Eretz v'ner lalan Eretz. It says over here by the bikurim Eretz, and it says in the Parshat Ekev about Eretz malalan shevach Eretz. Over there in Parshat Ekev, when it's speaking about the Eretz, it's talking about the fruits that the Eretz Israel is blessed with. So too over here, Afkan shevach Eretz. Also over here, it's shevach Eretz, which is the seven minim. It's not here. Shevach does not mean muna muvchar. Shevach means the fruits that Eretz Yisrael is known for, and the Pasuk in Ekev tells us what those are. Those are the Shivat HaMinim. So the Mi'artzecha for Rish Lakish comes to teach us that it's only Mi'shivat HaMinim, and not from every Reshit. Not all first fruits are brought as Bikurim. V'idach, what is Rabbi Yochanan going to do with that? Eretz, Me'eretz. He says, wait, I have two things here. V'idach, Eretz, Me'eretz, lo Mashmalei. Rabbi Yochanan is going to say I have two different limudim. One is the limud of Eretz, Eretz. That's the Gzeir Shava, from Ekev to Parshat Bikurim. Then on top of that, I have the Mem, which is the qualifier, Me'eretz, or Me'artzecha. So therefore, those are two different limudim that come out of the pasuk. One teaches me Shivat HaMinim. The other one teaches me not all Shivat HaMinim. Only some of the Shivat HaMinim can you bring, and those are only the best ones. In Rish Lakish, lo mashmalei. Me'eretz Eretz, that's not a limud that he subscribes to, and therefore he doesn't have that deal. So now we have Tani Chada. We have one braita that tells us, Shibagak, Shibachur, Shibatzit, Shibasvina. These subpar locations of growing, Mevi v'koreh. You bring them, and you read the Parshat Bikurim. V'tani Yidach. We have a braita that says, Mevi v'eino koreh. You bring them, and you do not read the Parshat Bikurim. Bishlam, Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish can explain the difference between these braita. Gaga gag lo kasha. The one gag and the other gag are not a kasha. Ha gag de me'ara. Ha the gag de bayit. One is talking about a gag of a cave. The other one is talking about a gag of a bayit. Gag a bayit does not qualify to be artzecha. Not really the eretz, and that's a subpar area to bring it from. Therefore, mevi veino koreh. Therefore, you don't read it. On the other hand, the gag of a cave is part of the quote of the bedrock, the lay of the land. It's part of the land itself, and therefore, it will qualify to be mevi ukoreh. Churva churva lo kasha. Talking about desolated areas. That's not a kasha. Kam bechurva avuda. Kam bechurva sheino avuda. Depends how it grew. If it grew on its own, then you mevi veino koreh. You bring it, but you don't say the mikra bikurim. On the other hand, if you work the area of the churva, then you bring it, and you would say the mikra bikurim. Atzitz atzitz lo kasha. A pot on a pot is not a question. Kam bechurva kasheino kuva. If the pot has a hole on it, then it draws its sustenance from the ground, and it'll have a din of regular bikurim, and you bring it, and you'll bikurim, mikra bikurim. If it's a pot without a hole in it, then it's subpar, and you'll bring them as bikurim, but you will not read them. The last one is lo asfina, asfina lo kasha. The boats are not a question. Kan besfina shel eitz, kan besfina shel cheres. One's talking about a sfina of wood, one is talking about a sfina of cheres. How to explain this is a machloket arishonim over here. Rashi claims that the cheres will be mevi ukoreh. He will bring it and read the mikra bikurim. Why? So there are one of two possibilities about why. Either because Kli Cheres, Cheres itself is considered like Adama, and since the Cheres was taken from Eretz Yisrael, it's as if it grew on the land of Israel. That's one possibility. Or the other possibility is that the Cheres is more porous for whatever reason. But here we'll discuss that in a second. And therefore, it has a din like Eretz Yisrael. Based on that, the Sfina Shel Cheres will be the one that you do bring from Bikurim from Enrid, or Sfina Shel Eitz, which is made out of wood, which is not the Adama of the land, or is less porous for whatever reason, that you do not make Bikurim. The problem with that explanation, that's Rashi's explanation. As well as, we're going to see in a second, the Rabbeinu Tam has an explanation why Kli Cheres is more porous, because there's a hole in it. He says there must be a hole drilled in the Kli Cheres, and therefore the dirt blocks the hole, and that gives it a chibur to the land.
Okay, I'm saying the Sfina Sfina?
They put dirt in the base of the Sfina, and they planted in the Sfina. Is it considered, when it's floating out in the water, is it considered mechubar l'Eretz Yisrael or not? So there, the Rabbeinu Tam only has a hole in it. So Kli Karetz has a hole in it, but the Eitz doesn't have a hole in it.
Sfina hole?
Yeah, the Sfina has a hole in it. That's how it's mechubar l'Karka. Why? So how does it not sink? He says because they put dirt on the bottom of the Sfina, and that's blocking the water from coming in. So that's how it sustains. The problem with both of those explanations is that in a parallel structure, all the other three explanations were, first they gave you the example of what is Mevive Koreh, and the second one is Mevive Eino Koreh. Whereas over here, it's the opposite way around. The Eitz is the one that's Mevive Eino Koreh, and the Kli Karetz is the one that's Mevive Koreh. So it's not parallel structure with the rest of the explanations. And therefore, the Rabbeinu Tam, it says here in the Tosfos, Rabbeinu Tam in his earlier life, he had an earlier explanation before he came to the explanation that was Kli Karetz with a hole in it. He had an earlier explanation. There it draws more moisture. It gets wet. Wood gets wet, absorbs the moisture, and therefore it's really much more connected to the land, even without a hole in it. But Kli Cheres is something that is solid, it's not porous, and therefore even only with a hole would consider connected. Without a hole would not be connected. And based on that, you can separate. So Shel Eitz is one Mevive Koreh, because that has much more of a connection to the land, and the Shel Cheres will be the one that does Mevive Eino Koreh, because it's separate from the land. So that's an early explanation of the Rabbeinu Tam. So Rabbi Yochanan Kasha. Rabbi Yochanan has a problem, because Rabbi Yochanan doesn't have this opportunity for bringing subpar Bikurim. He says subpar Bikurim don't get brought at all. So how is he going to explain the difference in these Braitot? So Rabbi says, Tanahi. Turns out it's a Machloket Tanaim, because we have another Braita, the Tanya. Shibagag shibachurva mevi vikore shibatzit shibasvina inu mevi kolikar atzit shibasvina, you don't bring it at all. So that's against the previous two brayta. The previous two brayta either said mevi vikore or mevi veino kore. So over here you have a third brayta that says inu mevi kolikar, can't bring it at all. So over here you have a third brayta that says you don't bring it at all. That'll solve Rabbi Yochanan's problem because then you can't bring it at all. But it only solves part of Rabbi Yochanan's problem. Tosfos asks the question, there's really no answer to it. It only solves the problem of atzitz and sfina. What it doesn't deal with is gag and churva. Gag and churva, we don't have a breita that says you don't bring them. And you can't say that, oh, the breita really meant that both of them, because it doesn't say that. It says, atzitz and sfina, ain't no mevi kol ikar. So it only addresses the atzitz problem and the sfina problem. It doesn't address the gag and churva problem, which will remain a problem for Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says those don't work at all as well. The last thing we'll say is, this is our Mishnah that says you have to bring the Omer from the best place. So there, it says that if you don't want to bring it from there, you go to the secondary, the Alpha, where the two places were Michmas and Zindcha, and the Bet area was the Afurayim Babika. And that, how do we know that Afurayim Babika was known for its grains? That's based on a mashal that's written in the Midrash. It says, Amrele Yochana Umamre, Yochana Mamre are the Chartumim in Mitzrayim. They say to Moshe, Temen Atar Machnis LaAfurayim? You're going to bring wheat to Afurayim? Meaning Afurayim is a place where they grow some of the best wheat. They have tons of wheat there. You're going to bring wheat to sell there? Nobody's going to be interested in your wheat. You're bringing Kshafim into Mitzrayim, Moshe? We got plenty of Kshafim here. We don't need a new magician here in Mitzrayim. We already have plenty of magicians here. So Moshe answers them up. Amrele, Inche, Lamata, Yarka, Yarka Shok. If you want to go sell your produce, you want to sell your vegetables, you go to a place where they produce lots of vegetables, because then other people are going to come to buy vegetables there. That's where the market for vegetables will be. So to over here, bringing kshafim, yeah. If you want to compete with the locals, you got to bring in what the locals know. They know kshafim, I'm going to bring them in. But truly, Moshe's answer is leitzanut, is a joke, because their question was also leitzanut. Moshe was obviously not using kshafim, he's using a kodesh baruch hu, but he wanted to answer them on their level. But what you see from that mashal that is written in the Midrash, that the Chartumei Mitzrayim say to Moshe is, Teben atah machlis le'ofarayim, that Ofarayim was known for its grains and for its wheat, and that's why in our Mishnah, Ofarayim is mentioned as one of the places that you could bring the Omer from. Okay, we'll stop over here.